It's Outdoor Explorer. I'm Charles Wolfort. Being a kid in Alaska in the summer is an amazing gift we give as parents. But to make it worthwhile with lifelong memories and skills, we need to get our children out of the house and making new friends and doing things, and not only on the weekends. Thus, we have summer camp. Our region has a huge variety of choices. On today's show, we'll be talking to folks who run some of those camps, and we'll talk about the practical considerations for parents in planning your kids' summer. Summer may not seem so close today, but it is definitely time to be scheduling your kids' activities. Do you remember what your time was like at summer camp? We'll try to resurrect some of those memories too. And got one of my favorite guests with me to kick the show off and wrap it up at the end, Erin Kirkland. Thanks for being back, Erin.
Well, thanks, Charles. It's super fun to be here.
Erin has the AK on the Go website. She's an author. She's a columnist. She's sort of a media magnet around here.
Wow.
Around Anchorage. Everything having to do with kids and with getting your kids outdoors, which I think we both feel is like one of the most important things we do in this life.
Absolutely, especially in this place when we get to live here, right?
Yeah. I mean, they get the idea of kids just being inside on the computer all day long, kind of like mine are. when they're growing up here is criminal. And so in camp, is this a great way to do it? Because you're probably working in the summer and, you know, you have like great trips planned, but what's happening in the middle of the week?
Absolutely. And you know, camp, especially the day camp sort of style of summer camping has really evolved over the last probably 20 years with more and more parents. Once school is out, they're kind of stuck for childcare. Mm-hmm. And so the day camp programs have really become a requirement for many families.
And you want that to be quality and fun and somehow to take advantage of Alaska, right?
Yes.
And so the ability for a kid to really learn some of those outdoor skills and just really feel part of Alaska is an important part of it.
Yeah. And, you know, summer camp as a concept was actually founded on a couple values like, you know, building character and learning about nature and becoming self-sufficient and independent. And when you really dive deep into those topics, that's what we really want for our kids. But we just don't want it in like the day-to-day format of sitting in school because they've done that, you know, September through May. Now we want them to get outside and have a little fun. So that's how summer camp has kind of grown up a little bit. But I love those core values.
Yeah. Well, did you go to summer camp as a kid?
I did. It was kind of an interesting story. I was a little bit of a reluctant camper, and I know you're going to have some folks talk about that. I was kind of a slow to warm up kid, so uh-huh. The concept of being sent away for a week was very nerve-wracking for me. In fact, I think my mom still has the postcards I sent. Yeah. I was pretty miserable.
Hello, Mama.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, exactly. I was pretty sad. I didn't know anybody. Uh-huh. And back then in the 1970s, they just sent you to camp. There wasn't the preparation that there is mm-hmm. now. There wasn't kind of this warm-up with two or three night camps, but they just stuck you on a bus and sent you away for a week or longer.
Yeah, I think I went away for six or seven weeks.
Right, right. So that has changed a little bit. But once I got into camp, you know, I went to camp every summer. I went to horse camp. I went to backpacking camp. I went to, you know, all kinds of things. And I loved, loved, loved it. And then when I became a college student, that's what I did with my summers. I was a camp counselor.
Neat.
Yeah.
Cool. So you know a lot about this. I was also very homesick in camp. But then by the end of camp, you've made these new friends who you think are going to be like your best lifelong friends.
Forever.
Even though you might not ever see them again.
Yeah. However, you know, in today's world, while camps do work very hard to limit electronics uh-huh. and the texting and things like that, I think kids have much more of an opportunity to stay in touch
yeah,
with their
true.
Camp besties because, you know, we all had these great ideas of writing home and sending postcards and mm-hmm. rarely... I remember several kids that I thought we were going to stay best friends forever, and I'm not even sure I really saw them again. So
I've seen that with my kids with some summer programs
yeah.
and stuff that they're Facebook and Snapchat. They don't use Facebook. That's only for old people.
Right, I was going to say wrong generation.
Yeah, yeah. Snapchat yeah. and then that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's a very worthwhile kind of opportunity, and there's a little bit of that we're all in this together kind mm-hmm. of feeling, especially if kids, especially older kids, are a little bit reluctant to go, like, gosh, they're sending me away, and, you know, we're all kind of here, let's make the best of it. But then by the end, some kids form really lasting bonding relationships, and I really like the idea of them being able to continue that, especially here in Alaska, because kids are able to connect, I think, a little
yeah.
bit easier.
But that, so that go away all summer thing is kind of a thing of the past. Not much done anymore. What are some other trends or things that have happened with summer camps?
So some of the other trends, I was on the American Camp Association, which is the accreditation platform for the best of the best summer camps. And some of the trends that I'm noticing, there's more multi-generational. So you have family camps that are cropping up. Mm. So the entire family and then some can go to camp for a long weekend or a week. And then there's camps. Camps aren't just for boys or girls anymore. Originally, let's say Campfire in Alaska was started Campfire Girls. And then they were one of the first, I believe, to incorporate boys into their programs. And, you know, you might remember it as a kid. You know, the boys' camp was here, like the parent trap, that kind of concept.
It was the girls' camp's on the other side of the lake.
Right, and that was exactly how it was. And the girls did their things, the boys did their things. But now everybody's kind of meshed together.
Yeah.
And it really provides some great skills, teamwork, kind of working with each other, especially when you hit that like 10, 11, 12, and, you know, girls and boys are just kind of learning about each other a little bit more. So those are some of the bigger trends. Also, another trend that I read about is that there are more opportunities for more kids to actually go. So it used to be a thing where, you know, only the well-off kids or the, you know, a little bit upper middle class could afford to go to camp. But now, and I know here in Alaska, if a kid wants to attend camp, almost all these organizations are going to do what they can to get somebody, get a kid there who really wants to go.
And that's partly because these are largely mission-directed organizations. I mean, they're not, for the most part, private organizations. They're mostly organizations that want to teach about science, or they want to teach about music, or they want to teach about the outdoors. And so their objective is a nonprofit objective to spread some positive thing.
Right. And then going back again to those core values of summer camp, the founder of summer camp, actually his name was Frederick Gunn, and he founded the camp shortly after the idea of camp shortly after the Civil War. He was an abolitionist and very, very, you know, rooted in ethics and morals. And so that's how it kind of morphed into religious organizations, service organizations wanting to step up and build that kind of character in a kid.
Right. And it's something that I think is in this divided society that we're in, everybody can believe in kids having a good experience at summer camp. I mean, this is something that you could think that there's nobody's against that.
Yes. Yes. And the ACA, you know, put out a statement that I was reading earlier today that, you know, we recognize that the world is changing. The world feels a little uncertain to kids. And summer camp is going to be one of those places where they can just let that go at the front gate and just be kids. It's hard for kids just to be kids these days. They hear a lot, they see a lot, they experience a lot, and, you know, they need that kind of experience that we had growing up.
Yeah. For me, I think it was summer camp, one of the positives was encountering some diversity that I didn't have at home. I think that maybe Anchorage is a lot more diverse now than it was when I was a kid. I know it is.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe that's not as big of a deal as it was then, but that is, I think, is part of it, is you're encountering new kids, you're learning to make friends with new people, and maybe kids who are from a different part of town at least, or maybe even from a different community.
Yeah, you know, kids for as small of a town, a big town of Anchorage, you know, is, kids don't move around and they're not as fluid as they used to be, I don't think. And especially here in Alaska, you know, kids go to their home schools or they go to their charter schools and they don't really mesh except maybe in sports and things like that. And again, camp is taking away all those external factors and putting them all in one place for a set period of time where they're not making the decisions about where they're going, somebody else is. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of cool to see how they adapt to that and how they evolve with that. And it's actually very exciting, I think. It's a very exciting time to be in Anchorage going to camp.
Yeah. Well, there's a socialization component, which I would think would be encouraged by the fact that they're probably not going to be able to use their electronics, or their use of their electronics,
usually,
they'll be
yeah.
strongly discouraged.
Yes. I know, especially with some of the day camp programs where they have before and after care. Again, that is another trend that camp used to start at 9 and end at 3. It's very rare you're going to find that kind of camp. And the ones that do have those set hours, parents are really scrambling. So usually they'll open at 7:30, maybe even 7, and they'll go till 5 or 6. So it's those kind of ancillary times that kids sometimes can get on their devices.
Right.
I know my son regularly attends Trailside Discovery, even now as a teenager, but I don't let him bring his electronics. I just figure it's easier not to do that.
Yeah.
Get a little pushback, but
you do.
But, you know, Trailside Discovery and all the camps, they work very hard, and they tell you as a parent, you know, your kid's going to be tired, and that's what we want.
Absolutely. And part of it with that camp is the outdoor knowledge the kid learns, and the environmental knowledge, and sort of the Alaska background, you know, that you really want them to have. And I just think that that's, especially where, I mean, we're outdoor explorer, but that's such a great basis to start out life with, you know, that you're not, that our kids can get, that other kids elsewhere may not get in the same dosage.
Yes, I am frequently reminding my 12-year-old of this fact. One, that you get to be in this place that people save their money for years and years, maybe a lifetime, to be able to come visit for a short week, and you get to wake up here every day.
Yeah.
So if I send you to a camp, you know, it's going to be a camp that's going to expound on that concept. But I think the skills he's learning as an individual, as a growing young man, he's going to learn some things that are kind of uncomfortable. I mean, I sent Trailside Discovery is another great example. You know, I send him to a mountain biking camp for a week or a kayak, and he's never done that before. It can be a little nerve-wracking kayaking around, you know, Prince William Sound or Kenai Fjords. And they're going to stretch themselves a little bit. And I think that's part of living in Alaska, is that you're going to be confronted with situations all the time in life that could be uncomfortable, and you're going to have to make some decisions and learn about respecting where you are. I mean, Alaska's not going to last forever like this. So
that's sadly true.
Yeah.
The other thing I found with my kids is that the experiences you expect them to be growing experiences and things that they're proud of are maybe not, you don't know what they're going to be, you know. And so my daughter came home from camp and they'd been swimming, and they'd gotten leeches on their legs.
Oh.
And she was super proud because she was the kid who didn't freak out. And
I think we had a conversation like that.
And dealt with the situation. I thought, okay, well, that, I didn't think that would be what was going to be happening, but great. Now she feels good about her ability to deal with the unexpected and away from a parent.
Yeah.
Not being, you know, having the parent out of the picture actually allows the kid to grow in ways that they wouldn't be if they were just with you on an outing.
And you hit a very good point. And one of my prime reasons for sending kids to camp is that we are a helicopter parent society. You know, I'm sure we're both guilty of it to a certain extent, as much as we say we're not. We got to get kids out of our sheltering arms and let them. I mean, leeches. You know, what would you have done if you were there? You know, let me get those for you.
I would have taken care of it, right.
Right. So, you know, from something as minor as that to something as major is, how are they going to react when they come across a bear? Because they're probably going to. Think of what we've taught them, these coping skills. But we haven't had to do it. Somebody else has done it. And I'm sure you were the kind of kid like I was, that I listened far more to the other adults than my parents.
You listen to other adults, other kids.
Yeah.
Parents come last. And also, kids' behavior is different when they're away from their parents.
Yes.
And they grow up 3 years the minute you're out of their sight. Because, and I've seen this with various programs with kids, is that once you pull the parent out of the picture, the kid now is relating from a sort of self-reliant perspective.
Absolutely.
As opposed to being a dependent perspective.
Yeah, and I think, you know, being as involved in family travel as I am, I also am a huge advocate for, you know, sending kids away on trips with other families, with their friends. We took a big road trip last summer from Iowa back up here to Alaska, and we brought my son's best buddy with him, and it was brilliant. But the two of them together were able to, you know, solve some things and relate to each other, and his parents weren't there. And so it was a really great experience for a kid who really had never traveled before.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. So hopefully we've got you all interested in getting your kids signed up for camp, because it is such a valuable and important part of childhood. And so now we're going to have some interviews with three different camp directors about what their camps are all about and some of the details, how much it costs, what the kids do. And then I'm going to be back with Aaron at the end of the show. So please stay tuned as Outdoor Explorer continues. Well, our first camp that we're going to be talking about is Campfire, who, like, one of the largest agencies taking care of kids in Anchorage, and also has a summer camp and a day camp. And I've got Katie Adrian, who's manager of Camp K and School Age programs, with me. Thanks for being here, Katie.
Oh, thank you.
So I'm right that you guys must be like the largest around for, in terms of after school care for kids and summertime care for kids. I mean, it's a big, big program.
Yeah, Campfire Alaska is the largest youth development organization in Alaska, and we do serve youth throughout the state.
Okay. And you have these after-school programs at a lot of elementary schools all over town that I'm sure most parents are aware of.
Yeah, we're in about 31 schools all over Anchorage and in Eagle River, and we do before and after-school programming.
Okay. And then summertime comes along, and parents feel this sinking feeling that there's no school to send their kids to, and there's like this yawning period of no childcare. And that's where you kind of step in with summer camp.
Yeah, we do offer a few different programs to serve the youth. So we have our programs that are called summer adventure programs, and those are based in schools in the Anchorage area. And we also have a day camp that is more of an outdoor type of program and is on the campus of Alaska Pacific University.
And what's that one called?
It's called Camp Sila Mio. And that stands for Singing, Laughing, and Memories. So
nice.
It's a very fun day for the kids, and they spend their time outside doing all sorts of recreation types of activities.
Okay. And then there's also an overnight camp, which is like the traditional camp, that what we think of sort of as the summer camp in the movies.
Exactly, yes. Camp K on Kenai Lake is on the shores of Kenai Lake in Cooper Landing. And just like you said, a very traditional overnight sleepaway type of experience for the campers.
Neat. All right. Well, let's go through these, the day camp and the overnight camp, as to kind of what ages are there and, you know, how long it goes on and that kind of thing. So how's that day camp structured in terms of like how long the day is and what the ages are and that sort of thing?
So Camp Sila Mio is open from 7:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. In the morning hours from 7:30 to 9 is kind of a drop-off period where kids get to choose their activities. And then from 9 to 4 is the regular camp day, and kids do all sorts of activities. Some things like we offer swimming lessons, which is kind of a great opportunity for the kids to get some great skills there. We also do boating, and we have target sports like archery and riflery. So their days are pretty full of some great activities outside. And then around 4 o'clock, we go into that pickup time again. And that is when the kids will get to choose their activities again at that time. And pickup for kids is from 4 to 5:30.
That's a long time to have kids and keep them engaged. And also, I mean, you'd have to pace yourself a little bit. It can't be like high level the whole time when you're with them that long.
Yeah, so we try and make sure their day is scheduled with some lower energy types of times, and they get a little bit of a relaxing time around the lunch time and have some time to just kind of hang out with their friends a little bit and get some recuperation and do some recovering and get ready for their next exciting activity.
Yeah, yeah. So you've worked there yourself?
Yes, I spent 3 summers there.
Is it as exhausting as it sounds like it would be? Because I think it would be really, this is a job for the young.
Yes, it can be exhausting. I think the love of being outside is also an important part of that. Mm-hmm. We spend our days outside, rain or shine, and having a good time. So love of the outdoors and just some energy to keep going along with those kids.
And they're
going
to pick up some skills along the way, too.
Oh, yes. Some great skills. And I mean, I hear parents say, like, this is the first time that their kid has gotten the opportunity to do things like shoot a bow. And I have had parents who have come to, like, a family event where they had an opportunity to do some of the activities with their kids. And they were like, wow, you're teaching me how to paddle a canoe and things like that. So it's really great that kids get those skills.
Isn't that cool? And in a lot of ways, they might not even get that exposure if not for something like this, because especially the way things are now with parents working so much and kids at home on the computer.
Yeah.
You know, they're not necessarily going out and playing outdoors unless they're in this type of program.
Exactly, yeah. And we're technology-free type of zone, so we are really doing a lot of those traditional games that you've seen kids play in their backyards or in their neighborhoods. And just getting opportunities to build relationships with the rest of the kids is something that's really great, and community-building opportunities there that kids don't necessarily get in their school day even. So an opportunity just to learn how to interact better with others.
Do you have kids freaking out when you take away their technology?
Well, I think we try and prepare them for it ahead of time so they know that when they're at camp, they're not going to be using that. But I think it's the worst with the older kids. Like when you get to be like the 10 to 13 age range, those are the ones that are like trying to sneak access to their phone or something like that.
Right. So is it just sort of the school age up through middle school that you take, or how does that work?
Camp Sila Mio is for campers that are age 5 to 13. And then we do offer a session for 14 and 15 year olds. That's called a teen trek. And that is a trip based camp. And every day they go out to some adventure in the greater Anchorage area for hiking or something like that. And they also have an overnight experience. So it's a pretty cool opportunity for 14 and 15 year olds.
Neat. Now let's talk about the overnight camp, which I guess you're going to be running for the first time this year.
Yeah. I'm going back to overnight camp. So 2010 was my first summer there, and I spent 3 summers as the assistant director of the camp before I moved to the day camp. So going back to Camp K in Cooper Landing and to manage that camp. And
what's the facility like?
We have a great new facility there. So over the past 6 years, we've built a lot of new buildings there. So new cabins for the campers to sleep in, a new dining hall, and new kitchen, and a shower house with flushing toilets. So lots of great new buildings there.
And how long is the session?
The sessions range depending on the age of the campers. So our younger campers in the 6 to 9 range, they go for a 4-day session. And then our 10 to 15 year olds, they can do a longer session that's about 6 days. And then we have a session that is 9 days, and that goes for 10 all the way up to 17 year olds.
Okay. You're on obviously a gorgeous location there on the lake. So you're canoeing with them, or what are you doing with them?
Oh, yeah. We do canoeing and kayaking on the lake, which is a really awesome and beautiful experience for the kids. We also do a lot of nature and outdoor living skills types of activities. So kids at camp get the opportunity to learn how to build a fire and how to cook over the fire. And they learn things about the plants and the animals of the area. And they learn some great skills around, like, even survival skills that are really important for anyone who wants to spend some time in the outdoors.
Right. This is all about being an Alaskan kid, right?
Yes.
These are things you're really supposed to know.
Yes, definitely.
So if you want, for parents who maybe have moved here from somewhere else and don't know, you can send your kid to camp, and then they can come back and teach you.
Yes, exactly.
One of the things that you always think about with overnight camp is homesickness and some of the issues around kids being away from home for the first time. You must have had to deal with that.
Oh, yes. That is something that happens. We generally get past it probably by the first night of camp, though. It's once the kids get excited and engaged with the activities, they feel a lot more comfortable. They know the staff a little bit better, and they know the kids in their cabin, and they start to feel more comfortable, and some of that homesickness stuff goes away.
Yeah, but it's really an important part of childhood development, isn't it, that you're kind of being a part of, and that sort of first nights away from home where it's not even a sleepover, it's some kind of maybe with strangers, and that must be kind of rewarding for you.
Oh, it's great to see the kids come on their first day and be a little bit unsure about even just sometimes being in the outdoors in that way. They might not have had that experience before. And then by the time that they get on the bus to leave camp, they are like so much more independent and have this confidence and just have built up some great skills to help them and take back to their regular lives.
Yeah. Any tips for parents to help your kid have a successful camp experience in terms of attitude or preparation or anything like that you would have?
I think the important thing for the parents is that they feel confident and that they can trust that they're sending their kids to a safe place. So our camps are accredited by the American Camp Association, and that means that we are following over 200 standards around how to make sure our camp is safe and that our staff are high quality and really know how to make sure that it's a good environment for their campers. So having a trust that they're sending their kids somewhere that they are going to be safe and well cared for is, I think, really important for the parents, because when they are confident, then their kids can feel that confidence as well.
If mom is weeping or helicoptering over the kid, then the kid is definitely going to be scared.
That's exactly true. Or if the mom is worried about bears or something like that,
right.
then the kids might be worried about that as well. But
yeah.
Having that confidence in our program and in our staff will really help the kids.
Cool. So now I know you have quite a fundraising operation to support your scholarships. So let's first talk about, you know, some typical tuitions if it's not on a scholarship, and then let people know about the scholarships. If I attended your fundraiser at the United Center this last winter and saw the video, which was so heartwarming, and it was like the best job I've ever seen of just twisting people's emotions and then asking them for money, because these wonderful families who talking about the huge impact it made on their lives to be able to send their kid to camp when they wouldn't have been able to afford it otherwise. So let's talk about the financial part.
Yeah, I think that video that you're talking about is like true to Camp Fire's story. We really want to give access to every child that wants to go to camp. We want them all to have the opportunity.
And so, we can share that on our website at outdoorexplore.org.
Yeah.
So the folks can take a look at it if they're get a tissue ready though.
Yeah, definitely. We can definitely share that video. But our prices of camp range depending on the length of time. Our day camp is $285 for a 5-day session. And like I said, you get some really great opportunities with that. And one of the biggest benefits of that program is the swim lessons. That isn't something that is readily available in Anchorage. So that as part of the camp program is a really great value. And like you said, the length of the day is pretty long, but
really,
we really do want to offer as much to the parents to meet their needs as we can.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the overnight camp and Camp K, the price ranges depending on the length of the session, like I said. So the 4-day sessions are closer to $400, and then it increases from there for the longer sessions.
Okay. And the scholarships are something that folks just need to apply through the Campfire office and say, we need a little help in our family, and they'll sort of look at your finances, or how does that work?
Yeah, that's right. We have a scholarship application that is on our website, or you can call our Campfire office if you need some help finding that. And they do ask some financial questions, but they do ask your story as mm-hmm. well. And each application is reviewed individually. And we take a look at what your story is. And if there is a need there, then Camp Fire strives to meet it.
So don't just assume you can't go. Well, thanks so much, Katie Adrian, manager of Camp K and School Age Programs for Camp Fire. Thanks so much for being here, Katie.
Thank you so much for having me.
Stay with us as Outdoor Explorer continues.
You're listening to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. Find the show anytime as a free podcast in the iTunes Store or connect with us online at alaskapublic.org.
We're talking about summer camp today on Outdoor Explorer, and my next guest is September Martin. She's a summer camp director at the Anchorage Museum. And the Anchorage Museum has an amazing variety of different day camps that they offer. It is a museum, but outdoor as well as indoor, so it fits with Outdoor Explorer, but also with some really cool topics. Thanks for being with us, September.
Oh, you're welcome. It was my pleasure.
So let's just jump right into it. A lot of these camps you're doing are based around science or art or like pretty interesting learning activities.
Yeah, we really try to focus on science, art, history, culture, if we can pull a bunch of different disciplines together and try to make activities that everybody is going to be engaged in. That's really our big focus. And,
uh-huh.
and having fun, of course, because
right.
camp should be fun. It should be educational, but it should also be fun.
It shouldn't be too much like school.
Yeah, not too much like school.
So give us an example of sort of what the day might be like or the week might be like in terms of you're combining some indoor and outdoor activities.
So normally Mondays, there's kind of a orientation. All the campers are together, get to meet the staff and things like that. And then they break out into their separate camps. We offer camps for ages 7 to 12. So there's normally one each week running from 7 to 9 years old and then from 10 to 12 years old. And each week they're going to be focusing on different topics. So you might have one group that's doing a robotics camp that week and one group that's, say, doing space camp that week. And within each of those camps, our museum educators work with myself and our director of learning and engagement to put together lesson plans that cross all of those disciplines and activities. But it might be spending some time in the classroom, getting out into the museum itself. We try to tie everything in with the exhibits and the things that we have going on within the museum. I know last year we did a film camp and the kids got to actually make a little film about their favorite exhibit in the Imaginarium Discovery Center.
Very
so,
cool.
You know, we try to tie in, especially with the themes. This summer we're going to be having Polar Bear Garden, which opens, I think, in the beginning of March. And that's focusing on the connections between Alaska and Russia. So that's one of the things that we're considering when we're putting together our plans for summer. And we also try to bring in other experts at the museum as well, people from our collections, people who do different jobs there, and really get the campers better understanding that a museum is not just a place with artifacts or just a place with art, but there's so many different things and so people with so many different backgrounds and specialties that we try to rely on a lot of those too. And then especially with a lot of the activities we do, we really try to focus on hands-on interactive type stuff as opposed to just sitting there, you know, and listening like you would in class or something
right.
like that, but really getting out there into the community and into the museum and just having an opportunity to explore things that you wouldn't otherwise get to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've got this amazing building and you talked about a bit about the resource there with the exhibits, but then you've also got this really nice square that's right in front of the building with some open space. And it sounds like you get out beyond that as well.
Oh yeah, definitely. We spend a lot of time out on the front lawn. One of our camps that is going to be running again this year, which is an animal camp, they actually got to interact with the animals from our live collection. And there were so many nice days this last summer. They were out there with the turtles in their little pool outside.
Wow.
And getting to play some different, like one of the really fun games we played with them last summer, they dressed up as different animals and had to mimic movements. So like we were talking about like sea stars and how they move like each tentacle at a time. So of course the person who was the sea star had to like sit on the ground and move these little suction cups from one side to the other before they could jump, and kind of did a relay back and forth in teams. And so we try to get to do some, you know, active stuff like that as well, because it's a drag sitting inside all day on a nice day. We did filming and photography outside last summer, and I know that we've got a lot of really fun stuff planned for this summer with like microscopes, telescopes, things like that.
Like collecting, find something outside and get it under the microscope. Cool.
Yeah. And I mean, the other thing we do sometimes is we'll walk down to the Delaney Park Strip and do some different activities, like, you know, launching little helicopters, or I know we talked about possibly doing like a bottle rocket type activity for some of our camps too. And we're still working on the plans for this summer, so it's hard to give much of a preview of that. But some of the stuff that we've done in the past, you know, just having such a beautiful space, like you said, even being downtown and being able to get on the grass and get out and do stuff, and having those interactive opportunities both in and out of the museum have been really positive for mm-hmm. all of the campers and the parents that we've talked to so far.
So is it generally an all-day program, or and I know it's not like all week. Sometimes it's a one-day camp, sometimes it's 4 days. How does the schedule work exactly?
Right. So last summer we pretty much did week-long day camps, and so mm-hmm. we run camp from programming runs from 9 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Because people need the coverage for their kids.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So like for this summer, drop off is as early as 8 o'clock in the morning, and then we offer from 3 to 4 o'clock a free hour of aftercare as well. That doesn't, you know, they don't have to register for it or anything, but basically we'll take the kids from 8 to 4, but they'll actually have camp programming from 9 to 3 during most of the weeks for the summer. And we are running May 29th through August 11th. There'll be 5-day camps, so Monday through Friday.
Okay.
During the...
Each camp being a separate 1 week, so you
yep.
can sign up for the ones you're interested in.
Exactly. During the week of Independence Day, that week we're offering just day-long camps.
Oh, I see.
For the week, specifically because one of the feedback we got from our parents last summer was we did run week-long camps that went through holidays, and a lot we had about half of the kids actually be able to come to camp that day, and parents said, well, you know, it would be really nice if they didn't have to choose between spending time with family and missing out on camp. But there are also the parents who do, like us, have to work on holidays, so their kids having something fun to go do during that time, it gives them the option. So one of the things we're offering this year is day-long camps, And for most of those, there will be two operating during the day. Again, one from ages 7 and 9 and one from 10 to 12. But on the two holidays, we're just basically doing ages 7 and 12, and they're all going to do the same activity. One that I'm really excited about is our very first day of camp is we're doing a bubble camp. I think we're calling it, I don't even remember what we called it, but it's going to be all about the science and art of bubbles.
Fun.
And I've actually been working on that quite a bit over the past couple of months, just figuring out what activities and stuff we're going to do. So we're going to get outside and make some bubbles and do some colorful bubble art and learn about, you know, what makes the best kinds of bubbles, uh-huh. how we want to make that solution, let the kids play with stuff like that. So
sounds like you have to come up with an incredible amount of programming to cover the whole summer.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. It's especially because we have to plan so far in advance. It is a big portion of our time and energy goes into creating these programs. But we really try to put together things that we can then build on or adapt depending on what other exhibitions and things we have going on in the museum. So once we've spent the time to put it together, it exists there and we can repurpose it for other activities at the museum as
mm-hmm.
well.
Cool. So I don't know if you have this information with you, but what is the tuition for one of your week-long camps?
So a week-long camp is $275. Members mm-hmm. get a 10% discount. Day camps are $75, and again, members get a 10% discount.
All right, cool. So there you have it, the summer camps at the Anchorage Museum. Anything you want to add, September? It seems like you covered it pretty well.
Well, we do also offer camps and workshops during spring break, winter break. This is our first year doing winter break, and we started our spring break program last year, and so we definitely have during that time we do day camps as opposed to a week-long camp.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're interested in a little preview of some of what summer might look like, take a look at some of the workshops we have for spring break.
Cool. Okay, September Martin, she's a summer camp director and an educator at the Anchorage Museum. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Stay with us as Outdoor Explorer continues. Well, the next summer camp we're talking about here on Outdoor Explorer is the Trailside Discovery Camp, which is part of the Alaska Center, the environmental organization. It's been around many years, and I can say proudly that my own kiddos went there, and I even had some of the counselors who were coming from outside to stay at my house. We have in the studio Tom Burek, who's the camp director. How long has Trailside been around, Tom?
This is Trailside's 35th summer coming up.
Wow.
35 years, yes.
Wow, that's amazing. And you've been at it for quite a while.
This will be my 21st summer, yes. I've been here a while, too, and every summer's been a great summer. They're all different, but it's been a great ride along the way.
Yeah. So you use the Campbell Creek Science Center as sort of your base of operations in the summer.
That's right. Yes, we're located at the Campbell Creek Science Center all summer and also at Spring Creek Farm in Palmer. And we have some staff at the Boys and Girls Club in Mountain View as
uh-huh.
well. So we have staff in various locations.
And you're a pretty big operation these days. How many campers and how many staff do you have?
Well, we have a staff of over 50 that work, and then we have over 2,700 kids attend camp during the summer, including all sites. Over 5,500 kids attend camp during the summer. So we get a nice turnout, get a lot of kids outdoors, active, involved in nature.
That must be one of the biggest camps in Alaska.
I believe we are the biggest camp day camp in Alaska, yes.
Wow. So let's talk about, like, what is the philosophy of the camp? You're obviously sort of a mission-driven organization. What are you
right.
trying to accomplish?
Well, we're an environmental education camp, so our main goal is to get kids outdoors
mm-hmm.
into nature, activated and active, and help them to learn about being outdoors, enjoy being outdoors, and also learn skills to be in the outdoors, like wildlife safety, wilderness safety, how to canoe, how to kayak. And also, we want them to make new friends while they're at camp, have camp fun, but learn about the environment. So it's an educational camp, and part of their day is they are learning about nature, learning what to identify plants, what trees they're looking at. They also do some scientific studies. So we get them totally immersed in nature, so their brain gets wired, like, I want to go out today.
yeah. I remember that so well with my little ones who are all grown up now, but that they would, you'd go for a hike the following weekend and they'd be something, okay, this is, you know, this kind of fern, this is your kind of tree. And it was really cute. And it really, actually, you would sort of get the excitement, or the excitement would rub off from your kids to you after they'd gotten so much excitement from camp.
Right. My son goes to camp as well, and he does the very same thing. Uh-huh. He'll tell me what he learned at camp, and I go, well, where'd you learn that? Like, I didn't even know that. And he goes, at camp.
Isn't that cool? So you must do a lot of work with your counselors to make sure that they have the knowledge to teach these things.
Right. We do. What we do is, to start off with, we get an application, online application, then I have to do a background check, check three references, interview. We do a sex offender check and a nationwide background check. And then once we hire them, they go through a week of training, so 40 hours of training. So they're learning about wildlife safety, health and safety, behavior management, how to manage the kids, where things are at, where the trails are, right, where the creek is. And so we get them prepared. So on the first day, they're confident. And if a parent asks them a question, they're confident about what the answer should be.
And then by the end of the summer, they really know how to work with kids.
They do. They get a really wide experience. Many times the people we get, they are going into teaching. And so it's a great way to get some experience working with kids, not only teaching, but managing behavior. That's a challenge. Health and safety, just learning how each kid's different. They're not all the same, even though they're the same age. So
you take a really wide range of ages of the kids who come to camp.
We do. We work with ages 4 to 18. So we have 4-year-olds at camp, and that's a great age, actually, to get started, to get them outdoors, because then their brain gets wired early on, and then there you go. You're set for life with them wanting to go outside and wanting you to go outside, too, not be indoors so much.
Well, and it's having that positive experience that it's at the level of the kid, right? So as parents, you learn, like, if you go out and try to do something with your 5-year-old, that's exactly what you want to do. The kid's going to be tired, right? And they're not going to have a good time. But if they go to camp and do, like, the activities that are geared to them, then they're going to have this really positive sense of what it's all about.
Exactly. So what we do, we split them up, the kids, into age groupings. Mm-hmm. So what the curriculum fits their age group. So ages 4 and 5 are together, 6, 7, 8, 9. And 10 to 13. And so our curriculum is built around that. We have a curriculum for each class, and then the staff can teach, you know, to that level, and they get to know pretty quickly what they like to do, what sort of nature games they like to play, and that we gear everything we do around that, their age.
Yeah. So you're probably pretty unique in taking kids in the teen and sort of upper teen years. What do you do with those older kids?
Actually, we have a really great older kids program, ages 10 to 14. Right now, actually, it's filled solid for the summer, which is amazing. We offer some really extensive programming. We have high adventure programming that we offer, and that's really goes over well with that age group. But we also do environmental education programs. We have a climate scientist group where the kids learn about climate, and they go up in a plane to look at Fire Island. We have marine tours, so oceans classes, so they learn about the oceans, and they go on a marine tour as part of the highlight of the week. We also have operation farming class, which is learning about farming and food and produce and where food comes from.
And some away trips as well.
We do. We offer some wilderness camping trips, and we start at age 8, so age 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12 to 14. We have one that goes out a week, so they learn to canoe, kayak, mountain bike, and hike are the main types of trips. And what we do is we have high adventure in camp, so they learn the basic skills in camp, then that's kind of where they progress through. And then
when you're 8 years old and you're going on an away trip, then that's really high adventure.
Absolutely. It's a great experience for them to get out and that independence and see life a different way.
Yeah. So do you feel like you're kind of indoctrinating kids in terms of, like, the perspective of the organization, or is it more just teaching them to appreciate nature?
No, it's definitely appreciate nature, or learn about nature, educationally based. No indoctrination whatsoever. We just want them to learn about what is out in nature, and to understand it, and then make, you know, balanced decisions later, but just to have fun. And the main things we want them to then on their own go out in the outdoors and later on in life become involved in the outdoors.
Now they'll have the skills. They'll know how to paddle a canoe. They'll know how to build a fire and all that stuff.
That's absolutely correct. Yeah. Yes.
So the camp is so popular, even though it's so large and the largest in Alaska, you really have to jump on it if you're going to get signed up for particular sessions.
Yes, we opened registration January 1st, and at this point we're 90% filled out of 2,700 spots. We have over 2,500 filled. So there are still space available, and you just we have an online registration site, or call us over the phone.
We can get that that site on our site at outdoorexplorer.org, so people can find it.
Yep, and if you just type in Trailside Discovery, it'll come up as well. You know, it's pretty easy.
Yeah.
And also, we do save spots for. We work with the Migrant Education Program. That's part of the Anchored School District. We get kids from that program. We have a scholarship program. So we were sure to save spots for kids coming from those areas of our programming as well.
Mm-hmm. What is the tuition for like a week-long, sort of typical week-long camp?
Per week, it's $275 per week, and that's from the camps Monday through Friday from 9 to 4. We do offer pre and after care for people who work, which, you know, their schedules, they have to have those extended hours. A full day is 7:30 to 5:30. So that's our tuition rates, and there is an additional fee for pre or after care as well.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming in, Tom. It's Tom Barrick, who's the camp director at Trailside Discovery Camp here in Anchorage. Thanks for being with us on Outdoor Explorer.
It's really great to be here. Appreciate it.
All right. Stick with us as Outdoor Explorer continues. We're back. It's Outdoor Explorer. I'm Charles Woolforth, and we're talking today about summer camps. And now to wrap it up, I've got Erin Kirkland back with me. She is an author, a columnist. She does the akonthego.com website, which you can find on our site at outdoorexplorer.org. She knows a lot about family travel and getting your kids into the outdoors, and been a great help on our show many times. So today we're talking about summer camps, and for this last segment, Erin and I were going to just discuss some of the practicalities about signing your kid up for camp, making sure they'll be happy, and dealing with some of the pitfalls. Let's start with Erin. Camp is great, but there's always too much of a good thing. And I remember my kids, some of their friends, by the end of the summer being so sick of camp, they couldn't stand it because they'd been signed up sort of basically every week as childcare and had never done anything else. And that's not the way to go either.
And it's such a fine line, Charles, that a lot of parents are walking because a lot of parents just don't have any other option. But what I've had discussions with other parents, and I said, you know, why don't you use some of your vacation time, you know, maybe take a couple long weekends and then kind of mix it up, let them play with friends for a couple days, you know, like camp 1 week and then take a week off and have your family vacation and then push back into it. It's very hard on kids, usually the first week after school is out. If, you know, here they are, they're so excited for ending a school year, and then boom, Monday morning, they got to jump right back in. So
get up early and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a lot of it. I mean, kids work really hard during the school year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, usually in our family, I don't jump right into summer camp after that. You know, of course, we're into that sleeping till noon phase. Anyway. Yeah.
You don't want that act to go on all summer, but it
yes,
can be hard
wouldn't
to fight.
It? Yeah. Yeah. But I want to honor that a little bit. You know, I remember that myself wanting, you know, just that crazy sense of freedom you got at the end of the school year. So
the summer seems infinite at that point. Right?
Yeah. Funny. Yeah. Now as a parent, it seems infinite, but not in the right way. So, I do encourage families to consider maybe taking their vacation right out of the chute, and then kids will be ready for something new and maybe hanging out with their friends at day camp. Speaking of friends, I encourage a lot, take a couple buddies, because that makes it a little more fun, especially if it's a new environment, and switching up camps. You know, it can be hard depending on the situation and scenario. Some camps you better get in there and be filling up your forms right away. Some open for registration January 1st. So, but switching it up is also a great idea. Maybe do a couple weeks at day camp and then a week of sleepover camp. But don't be afraid to go to different organizations because you might be surprised. There's a lot of smaller organizations and businesses that do offer summer camp. So, you know, don't be afraid to do that.
If you do a little bit of a staycation over the summer, you can do maybe a kid swap with friends. You know, it take your friend's kids for a week and then let them take your kids for a week.
Yeah, you know, when my son was, I think, you know, first or second grade, there's a group of us, about four or five moms, and that's what we did. We had like
I did that
friend
too.
Day camp, and yep. It actually was great. So I'd pack everybody in the car and we'd just go be tourists in our own town, and it worked really well. Mm-hmm. So we did that for an entire summer.
So much good stuff to do around
this
town.
Yeah, there really is. And I think, you know, for the working parents, it just is a matter of starting to plan ahead, as you know, much as I hate to say that. but that's really the reality of it.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about being homesick when we were kids, and I talked to Katie about homesickness. One tip she gave is, like, if you're sad that your kid's leaving for camp, the kid's going to be sad, right? So don't act out the behavior that you don't want them to do.
Yeah.
Be doing.
And
any
know,
other thoughts about homesickness?
Well, it really, you have to be plugged into what kind of kid you have in your household. Some kids are so, you know, exuberant and excited and extroverted. And then there's kids like me who are very introverted. And I remember sitting on the bus all the way thinking, I don't know anybody. You know, consider driving your kid to camp with some friends or with, you know, carpooling to camp. So you kind of make that transition
a
little easier.
At least one buddy makes it so much easier.
Oh, gosh, so much. And then, you know, as you get there, just don't fawn all over them. And say, I'm going to miss you so much. And then,
hey, have fun. Bye.
Like, have a great day. You know, and it's the same tips that childcare professionals give. Mm-hmm. That, you know, make the getaway fast and casual. And, you know, I make sure you send
the
mail.
If you're crying, the kid's going to cry.
Yeah. So I will say, for sleepaway camp, my mom was a pro at mail call, because mail call at summer camp, and I don't know if you remember this, is a big deal.
Yeah.
Huge deal. So they call out your name, and if you get a package, everybody jokes, and, you know, so that's the kind of stuff that can really make your kid's day. Have everything ready to go, and like the second you drop them off, swing by the post office and mail it, so they'll get it within a day or two, and that can really, really make things better. And not necessarily, if a kid says, I want to call home or I want to email my mom, and I'm sure Katie talked about that, you know, kids will kind of walk that line too, say, you know, I think you're going to be okay, and you know, we don't need a phone call.
I remember being forced to write letters home. Of course, this was back in the days of
when you had to have rest time. Don't you remember rest time?
And like, unless there's like three sentences on that piece of paper, you're not moving.
Oh, absolutely. And not to be stereotypical here, but getting the boys, I remember as a camp counselor, getting the boys to write letters home was like pulling teeth, because they're like, I don't know what to write. You know, my mom also, she really was a pro at this. She would like pre-address all the postcards for my brother so that he would send things home. And
oh, it's bringing so many, like your name sewed in the back of your shirts and all that stuff.
The little sewing them into the, and you know, that gets into some other stuff. Invest some of your kids' time in getting ready so that they're getting excited about this. Let them do the packing.
Right.
You know, give them the list. Even, you know, usually 8 or 9 is when kids first start going to sleepaway camp. They definitely can read and follow a list of what to bring. And
then the excitement is going to be
there. Letting them be responsible for that is huge. And then all you have to do as the parent is kind of make sure they have everything in there. You know, sometimes I'll tuck in a little note, something like that, and we're good to go.
Yeah. So there's so many choices that people have. How do you find out the choices out there, and as you're trying to balance all this and figure out your budget and what your kid's interested in and making sure you don't overdo it and underdo it? I mean, you need to find out you need to find out what's available.
Yes. So we're pretty fortunate here in Anchorage. The Alaska Dispatch puts out their camp guide every year. I keep asking them if they can do it earlier, because it doesn't come out till April. And usually by April, I mean, parents in Alaska are good. They're really good. Half of them are probably all signed up already. But that's one way to start researching. And there are literally hundreds of opportunities, ranging from pottery to Camp Kushtaka, Camp K on the Kenai Lake. So that's one opportunity. The other way to go is to get on the American Camp Association. I believe it's aca.org.
We'll get that on our website.
You can get on there, and they'll list every state and the list of accredited camps, because ACA camps have gone through a very rigorous process to become accredited, and they're going to have, you know, what they offer and who runs it, and directly go to their website. So that's another good way. But, you know, plan to invest a little bit of time in this, and, you know, sit down with your kid, say, you know, what do you think you might like to do this summer? So starting there, make a list, ask your child what their interests are. And it that doesn't mean you have to follow that. Like if they are soccer, that does not mean they only have to go to soccer camp.
They'll probably hate soccer by the end of the summer if that's
all
they do.
Well, but I think it's really important. You know, there are so many other things a kid can try. This is, summer is a great time to try new things. Right. They may not decide they want to do it ever again, but they tried it. And I think that's really important. We are very sometimes narrow-minded in, we want our kids to be successful so we know they have an activity they like and that's the only thing they're going to do. And I think that's a mistake. I think we need to broaden their horizons a little bit.
Absolutely. One other tip that I would add to that excellent list you just gave is to talk to your kids' friends' parents.
Yes.
And find out what they're up to so that you can start to match things up, especially with my shy kids.
Yes.
Knowing that they're going with somebody else has been big.
You know, so
that there's that connection.
Oh,
especially
absolutely.
Out of town. My daughter went to Sitka Fine Arts Camp several times, and the first time it was important to be on the plane with other kids she knew.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And because that's a really good point too, Charles. Is if they're going to travel any length of time or distance to get to camp, I mean that's a big deal for them, especially if they have never flown by themselves or you know hopped on a bus by themselves. So, you know, think very carefully about investing that kind of time and money. Because Sitka Fine Arts Camp, and that's a pretty intense experience for kids. It's wonderful, but it's long too. So
it's a couple of weeks, and it's working with nationally renowned artists.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's gained a real national reputation.
Yes.
Super high quality. I was just blown away by how good it was. But if your kid wasn't really into art, I would not recommend it.
Yeah, yeah. And that's there is another fine line between pushing them and encouraging them. And,
right.
and you know, I know my son, I've tried several times to see if he wanted to go. And he's like, nope, don't want to do that. So he just likes the straight up regular summer camp kind of experience. And that's perfectly fine. He comes home dirty and exhausted, and that's what I'm looking for.
I have so many good memories of thinking about my kids coming home from camp and just being super happy and really loving this counselor who gave them those experiences. You must have experienced that as a counselor, of like this, how strong the kids' emotions are.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. In fact, you know, some of these relationships with kids lasted, you know, my entire college career because kids tend to come back, especially if it's a religious affiliated camp. These kids will come back and back and back. And, you know, you become kind of the adult in their universe while they're there. And especially for, you know, the tween teen kids, they're looking for somebody to kind of have that one-on-one time with or...
Whose age is probably closer.
A lot closer.
Than their parent.
Yep. Somebody who can be a little more relational to what's going on in their lives. It's a lot easier to say, yes, I remember doing that when you're 21 as opposed to, you know, almost 51. So I had really powerful, powerful experiences when I was
neat.
A camp counselor. And
so that's
really one of the best
parts. Extension of it,
Yes. And, you know, with older kids, encourage them, if they really like it that much, encourage them to take, like, a counselor in training program or a junior counselor or something like that.
Yeah. That was a great experience for my daughter, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the leadership skills are amazing that they're going to take with them for the rest of their life.
Fantastic. Well, if people aren't interested in summer camp now, I don't think they're going to be.
I am.
I know. No,
I want to go.
Thanks, Erin. Erin Kirkland is always a great guest on Outdoor Explorer. She's got the akonthego.com website, and she's an author, columnist. She's all over town giving great advice for parents. Thanks for being with us today on Outdoor Explorer. Eric Bork is our producer. Hannah Duro is our assistant producer, helps book the guests. My name is Charles Wolford. I'll see you outside.
Outdoor Explorer is a production of KSKA Public Radio in Anchorage, Alaska. Theme music is by Portugal, The Man. Views expressed are those of the participants and do not reflect the station or its underwriters. You can find Outdoor Explorer on Facebook and on iTunes. To see what's coming up on Outdoor Explorer and add your voice to the conversation, go to our website at alaskapublic.org.
Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.